Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, oh! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. We will actually cover today a very interesting ground, the ground of personal prayer. Then we will go to a very, very rasa-laden song in Vrindavan, which tells us, gives us a little bit an idea how the Brajbasis express their personal prayer to Krishna. It's really moving. And afterwards, we will enter on yet a deeper level, the stava. Stava means the prayer on Krishna's lila. My intention in the seminar by now can be spoken out loud because you have been with us for two sessions so far. My intention is to bring you in very deep levels of contemplation, and I do this by giving you a few understandings in the beginning of each seminar. So here we heard about obeisances, how it works on the mind. Now we will hear about personal prayer, and as I conduct this 15 concentrated minutes on personal prayer, I have to warn you, it will be personal. In other words, I will a little bit share with you some very ancient secrets from the scriptures, but in a way that you can adopt them in a personal way. I will not speak in the language of philosophy to you today, but in the language of the heart, and you will hear a profound difference in these two languages. In the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, we find a role model in praying. It's Gajendra, who has been placed twice in increasing difficult situations. First of all, he was a great spiritual practitioner who, due to an offense against a saint, was cursed to become an elephant. He was in a dull body. He was situated in unfavorable circumstances, to say the least. And the second is, in these unfavorable circumstances, he was attacked by a dangerous crocodile. Gajendra always is mentioned as a role model of praying, because in these two types of unfavorable circumstances represent our own. We also are encased in a body which is foreign to us, to our nature. And second of all, within this body we are attacked by diseases, illness, mental enemies like lust and greed and so on. And we now are advised to turn towards the Lord in prayer. There's a very important shloka in that 8th canto which tells us how Gajendra turned to Krishna. What he did is mana sang harana is a Sanskrit word which is used. He pulled back his mind from everything else and entered deep into the heart. In that mood, or from that place where he had withdrawn from the external and gone into the most internal place, the heart, he offered prayers which are very beautiful. So when you sit down for praying, it's very important that you also concentrate in two ways. First, banish all thoughts. Be alone with God now. Cut your other thoughts away. And the second step is banish all ego. That's more difficult. First, banish all your thoughts, your diverting thoughts. Krishna speaks about this. Yata yata nishalati, wherever, due to the restless nature of the mind, the thoughts will go. From there, that place, you have to bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back. But then you have to divest yourself of your upadis. See, the heart becomes very hard due to upadis. There's these designations, layers, coverings, of which is the first and foremost to pursue an interest which is different from pleasing Krishna, your own interest for self-gratification. That makes the heart so, so hard. So we want to pray to Krishna by getting rid of these upadis. We want to get this ego out of the way, and we do so by first putting our thoughts away and then banishing our ego, our illusory identity, which is just a covering, an upadi, really, and focus on nothing else than Krishna. Then your prayer is like a laser beam which cuts through all external obstacles. Now, to enter into a spiritual place becomes very easy if you, this may sound very mystical, if you sit close to a spiritual personality. In prayer, you should sit close to your guru. In devotional service, you should sit close to your guru. In kirtan, you should sit close to your guru. In every enchanting japa, you should sit close to your guru. You do this by a simple meditation which brings you into the vicinity of your spiritual master, by just thinking that you are a servant of your spiritual master, acting really on his behalf, because he has given you permission. As one of my Brijbasi friends always says, without permission, no admission. I think you have heard him at Radhakund asking you for a donation. The guru gives us permission, which helps us to be admitted in a sacred space. This is very, very important, this via media of the spiritual master. You have to learn to sit close, to listen to spiritual subject matter, to sit close to a spiritual personality. There's also another reason why Vikshamdi, I will never forget this. You have turned into a nectar hunter. You are certified by me. You have even broken moral rules. A gift for my deities, yes. thank you, Vishanta. It's good that you did this. It will be offered with love. I'm sorry, but because I'm such a nectar hunter, when someone hunts my treasures and gets it, I can't believe it. I'm surprised that someone could trick me. The second of all, a lion which has been sleeping rises to his four legs. Good that you returned it. Good. So another reason, really, why when you want to enter the spiritual realm, you are sitting close to a spiritual personality is this, and this is very wonderful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking like this because Mahaprabhu, as you might know, he only once went very close to Lord Jagannath. That is when he entered the temple of Jagannath Puri, and drawn by the ropes of the highest prema, he was pulled towards the embrace of his beloved Lord Jagannath. But just a few steps before he could climb on the altar, he fainted, and he embraced the Lord in his mind, and stayed for a long time in this fainted condition. But he did not climb up the altar. Imagine he would have done this and embraced Lord Jagannath. It's very difficult to conceive what would have happened. So he, after that one event, which was an exceptional event, he always stayed far at the Garuda Stamba and looked from there. His explanation which he gave why he always stood there is, he said, I'm not a devotee, but Garuda is a devotee. And Lord Jagannath will look at Garuda, and because I'm just next to Garuda, his eyes will also fall on me. So isn't that wonderful? When we stand next to a devotee, then the Lord will look to the devotee, and because we are just so close, he will also look at us. By the way, if you just turn, there is a wonderful monkey, a special monkey. He's... Now we don't see him. Some call them the Hanuman monkeys. They are not like the mischief. They are the graceful monkeys. Hopefully he comes and joins us for some time. He's on that edge of the roof there, between the Y-shaped branch of the tree. Anyways, please come back. So if you sit next to your guru, who is a devotee, and Krishna looks at your guru, he will look towards you. Krishna always, he says like this. He says, one who says he's directly my devotee is not my devotee, but one who sits close to his devotee, or one who is the devotee of his devotee, he is my devotee. So, it's always very good that you, when you want to enter the prayerful mood, that you start offering prayers to your spiritual master, and in this way offer or come into some closeness. Then, as you are starting the prayer, enter into a meditative state which brings you, as we explained in the beginning, into the center of your heart. And from there, offer the prayer like a silent scream. A silent scream is something which you do, for instance, underwater. No one hears you underwater when you scream. I think no one of you does this, but it's just in theory. But you have a lot of inner presence as you do a silent scream. Imagine you would now do a silent scream. Look at me. I will do this for you because I do this often to pray in a very concentrated mood. You see, it's a certain technique where you bring a certain emotional tension in your heart and then relax the tension because you want to pray in a silent mood. So this is concentration. Those who do yoga know that the concentration of the yoga exercise, the dhriti, takes place in tension and relaxation, tension and relaxation. So in prayer, you first concentrate, like in a silent scream, but then you don't stay there. You let flow, you let go of anything, and like a child in a childlike innocence, you are in the presence of the Lord. Very important, as you now start uttering your words of prayer, the heart must follow the words. Very often in our Western culture, the words take on a dynamic on their own and the heart is no longer present. I would like to give you a difference in sound so that you know what I'm speaking. Often people say like this, I love you. And the other person says, really? How many times have you said this today to someone? But now listen to the other sound. I love you. It's a different sound. The heart is connected to the word, words. When you pray, you must also pray like that to Krishna, that he hears you, that he believes you, that he has faith that your intent is serious. Let your heart follow your words. Let there be no separation. In the different types of prayers, as we all know, there is a list which I hopefully brought along, which we have once made. There are some Pratanatmika prayers, words of direct prayer to the Lord, full of submission. There are Svadhyaya Bodhika prayers, words informing the Lords of one's own humble position. And there are many, many, many types of prayers. But they all, if they are proper prayers, have this one thing in common. The heart follows the words. Often it's very good to make a prayer to the Lord when you have directly received a lesson in your life. I would like to give you a lesson which just happened here in the Govardhan retreat. I will not tell you the name, but there was a devotee who came here with a super expensive film camera. And as he was on the way to this enclosure, the film camera, he heard a noise. Ratsch! He moved on. In India, you hear so many exciting noises. But then he thought, ratsch! Hopefully it's not my film camera. And he reached in his bag, and there was a slit. It had torn open, and the film camera must have been at that place. He was at that place, just next to the stool ditch. It must have fallen in the stool ditch. So he thought, "Let it go. I'm detached." And went to the place, shocked about what had happened. So when he had digested the initial atom bomb of the loss, he got up again. It was so expensive, the camera. I have to look for it. So he went to the stool ditch and really dug in it, 30 meters under the ground. You can see that stool ditch. It really looks like 20 billion diseases multiplied by 1,000, you know. And he dug in it. My auspicious film camera, to look for it, and finally he found it even. There was a detective work which Sherlock Holmes should take note of. And he got the film camera covered with the excrement of you know, 250 bridge bassies, and was victorious in his search. But the devotee thought to himself, and now comes the lesson in real life: I'm digging for an ordinary material thing in the stool ditch of Yatipur, where you can be infected and anything could happen. For this ordinary thing, I'm going to such an effort, but my effort to dig for my eternal soul and my loving relationship with Krishna is so small and minimal. Oh, alas, alas, what a poor pretender of a devotee am I. Alas, my life is ruined. Alas, I have been shown in Yatipur as the greatest fool. Why don't I put so much effort to find my Krishna, my Radha, my relationship to Radha and Krishna? That was his lesson. It was a real-life lesson, if you so wish. Now the devotee has now a rare treasure. He can now pray because he is now at a place no longer ruled by the flickering mind and ego. He's in a deep place now. Now he can pray, "My dear Lord, please, I have fallen in the ditch of material existence." As Mahaprabhu says, it's a ditch like that one. Please, given my mind, which is not under my full control, the determination to now find the soul and find you, please. And this prayer, my dear devotees, will be heard, because it is a prayer from a lesson within life. It is real. It is not some mental construction any longer. It's not something you learn with your photographic memory. It's something where you are present. So this brings me to my next point. Open your heart to the Lord. Pour out your heart like you would do water. And then divest yourself from external thoughts. Focus your minds exclusively on your words. Now you speak with God. Speak like you would speak to a friend or a teacher. At that time, your heart will be aroused from that sleep of condemnation. You will start to weep, but don't try to weep artificially. Learn the simple art of conversing with God in prayer, and you will see wonders happen. Wonders happen. Once Giriraj Maharaj asked Prabhupada, "How should I pray? How should I?" And he meant it in relationship to praying the ultimate prayer, the Hare Krishna mantra. "How should I utter these words?" And Prabhupada looked at him very affectionately, and he said, "Pray like I am now speaking to you. I'm addressing you. Pray like this. Chant like this. You are addressing Krishna." Normal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "While chanting, you must think of the person whose name you chant." I will say it again. "While chanting, you must think of the person whose name you chant." I will say it again because we never do it. "While chanting, you must think of the person whose name you chant." It sounds so natural, isn't it? You are saying Hare Krishna. Should you think of everything else than Krishna? If I'm saying, "Nanda, you were the first one who invited me to Alachua," should I think of everyone else than Nanda? I should think of Nanda, her enigmatic smile and her kindness. She even paid the ticket for me. Hare Krishna, I will never forget. The reason why I'm saying this is because here, in what we will learn here, is one type of prayer, but don't forget the other one. We learn praying in Sanatana Goswami's footsteps, but please also bring your person there. Don't forget the personal prayer. If you only go on the public road, my dear devotees, in your spiritual life, where everyone else goes without thinking, because the stream of people flow, your alertness will suffer. Your own initiative will suffer. Your own voice will become smaller and smaller and smaller and die one day. Don't forget, you all have a spiritual voice, the voice of your soul with which you can turn to Krishna. If you only go the public road, the institutional road, where everyone else goes, following the other people, that's how we do things here in our camp, then that little voice might die or not rise and not become strong. When you pray, don't look left and right how others pray. You are simply not aware of other peoples in the vicinity. I learned this really in India. I could see in India a mystery which I have never seen, not even in the Catholic and the Protestantic churches in which I learn to pray in this life. I could see millions of people standing before the altar and everyone only relating to the deity on the altar. Have you seen that also? You feel in the temple some sense of privacy because no one addresses you. I mean, of course, when you are an underground, the pandas will address you. But I will speak now of the normal concept of temple. You are alone with amongst thousands. You are alone with God. This is very good. This is very nice. Very good thing. So remain alone with God. Remain there. Now I will speak on urgency. Don't worry, I'm soon over. I know this is a little intense. It is also a little bit Sachinandan Swami-like. It's really, I have gone through the scriptures and afterwards I thought, let me write something on my own. This is usually how I do my writing. I write and read in Shastras and then I want to express it in my own words. And this is what you hear today. For someone who wants to pray, this being in connection or contact with his heart is most important. And therefore, I don't know if this is too strong for you, but can I say it anyways?
Yes.
Pray like you have come back from the dead. What I mean with this is, when you pray, you should leave the material world like you leave a graveyard behind, a place where birth and death take place. When you pray, you don't pray in the context of the world. You step out of this context and you pray as a soul, as an eternal part of Krishna. You pray on the spiritual platform. As, my dear Lord, I am your servant. And you are now standing in the spiritual dimension. And I would like to read to you a Brijbasi song now, where I feel this is very nicely expressed. Radhe, Radhe mere Swamini, Rakhiyo mere te. Oh, Radhe, you are my master, my mistress. Please give me shelter at your feet. Then keep your loving glance upon me and keep me in your eyes just like you keep a line of mascara in your eyes. Isn't this a beautiful analogy? Matajis have sometimes a line of mascara here. Men in Vrindavan also keep a black line here. So the devotee says, I'm black, but still keep me in your vision like you keep a black line of mascara in your vision. Don't you keep mascara in your vision? So can't you keep this black, sinful, papi person called Sachinandan in your vision? This is how the devotee's approach, very humble, divested of all ego. And then the singer sings, like a maid servant, I will sweep the palace of Srimati Radharani. And while I perform this service, I will keep beholding Radha's beautiful form as she goes up and down in the palace. Just meditate about this picture. Last time I was in Braj, the devotee invited me to Radha Priyadam, and there's a wonderful apartment where, if you want, I will give some evening lectures, two or three, there, and we have a servant there. I was never with a servant, but we had the servant called Raju. And Raju would always do some type of service. He was an ideal servant. And while he did his service, you know, wiping some corner of the room very humbly, he would look what was happening in the apartment. He would look in my room just very little bit. I would say, Haribol, Raju. And he would look in the kitchen where devotee was cooking some sabjis. And he would look everywhere. The devotee knows if I can just be a sweeper, jaru seva. Sweeper is a very low class servant, you know. And I sweep the palace of my Radharani. I will sometimes look, oops. Oops. This brings the concept of prayer. When you pray, keep your eyes low and your heart high. In other words, be humble, but be in an exalted mood of approaching Krishna. When you pray, keep your eyes low and your heart high. Hare Krishna. So, then he continues to sing. To serve Radharani is the ultimate goal of my life. For achieving this end, I will spend the remaining days of my life in Gebhavan. This is the forest which was created and decorated by Radharani personally. And there I will keep searching for Radha and Krishna while sweeping every kunja with my broom. And I will keep calling, Syama, Syam.
Syama,
Syama. Yeah. Syama is the name of Radha and Syam of Krishna. I will go and search for them by going in the various forests of Braj, and I will keep calling out the names of Syama, Syam.
Syama, Syam.
Wonderful. And then I will attempt to please my most beloved mistress and her lord, Radha and Krishna, in whatever capacity I possess. I will somehow or other try and satisfy him with all my efforts and any of my capacities. I will offer them my body, mind, and even all my wealth to please them. And then the song ends with some nice meditations. And as a payment to my service, I only want one thing. What is the payment which a devotee wants from Radha and Krishna? Prema, love. Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as a reward and payment for my service, I will want just some little love. And then by the power of this effulgent love, wow, Hare Krishna, I one day will hear some divine sound of their ankle bells, as Radha and Manohar will start walking towards me. Oof. Yes, let me go out and sweep the various groves of Brajabhumi. And then one day I will get the repayment of prema in my heart. And I will see how Radha and Krishna will come walking through the forest. And then I will run towards them and lift the creepers up so that they can pass easily under the tree. And in this way I will see them going up and down, left and right. Oh, my dear Radha, my dear Krishna, I have never performed my sadhana and worship with strict regularity. I have not controlled my senses. My mind is wild, but I will now sweep your forests with a jaru. And if you want, give me some paisas of prema, and then I will one day behold your beautiful lordships as you go up and down, up and down, left and right. Can you understand why we often say the Brijbasis who compose, you know, these are typical Brijbasi song. You will, when you go to the village in the evening, they will sit down and say, Radhe Mere Swamini, play their dolak and, you know, and be lost in the contemplation on the meaning of these songs. Now, I stayed for a long time and for a whole, not long time, a month in Suryakund, and every evening the Brijbasis would come and sing these songs, and I would make notes and ask, and then they would dance and act out the songs, and it was the village entertainment. Very, very nice, very devotional. So, yeah, this is an example which I would like to give, how you can pray as if you have come back from the world of the dead. You have left the world of material interest. You have, no matter who you are, taken the jaru in your hand, a street sweeper identity, very humble in other words, and in a humble mood, you are now sweeping your own heart, sweeping, cleaning, hoping that one day the mercy will descend upon you. A last tip for personal prayer is, when you go down to, when you lie down to sleep, before you do this, do a little technique. Just pray to Krishna. Think of Radha and Krishna in the core of your heart and pray to them. And as you drift off in the world of the unknown, you will have a shelter. You will have a guiding light. The light from the toenails of Radha and Krishna will stay with you throughout the night. And as you wake up in the morning, being bathed the whole night in the light of the toenails of your beloved lords, you will be able to start a devotional day without having to negotiate with your mind all over again whether to get up or not. You will be not so tamasically influenced. This is a very good thing. Something what you can do when you fall asleep, what I sometimes do is, I go on an exhale, I go ra, and on an inhale, da. No, wait a minute, how is it? No. On an inhale, ra. Just mentally. And then I'm blissfully asleep. Hare Krishna. Now you heard a secret. There's so many millions of things which the creative mind can do. This is, by the way, personal prayer. It's my personal prayer even. I have not found it in any Shastra, this last point. But I'm just saying, you can go creative to come close to Radha and Krishna. Here is what a creative poor beggar from Germany does. You please take it as an inspiration to also do personal prayer, because you need to discover your personal voice in spiritual life. It is important. So, good. Now we come to the work ahead, which is on our list. Let me see if there are some questions so far on prayer. How did you like the song? Wasn't it sweet? Yeah. Human. When I'm praying, I'm not honest. That means the words don't come from the core of my heart. Yeah. There are still other desires, material desires in my heart. And there is a One poet expressed it like this: there is a multitude of voices, many voices, not just one. See it in this picture. There are many people in the heart. This is ordinary psychology. There is the religious man, there is a sinner, there is the adventurer, there's the timid, fearful person, there's the businessman, many things. Go to that person who is a devotee and let him speak. Give him a platform, give him a forum, and let the others be silent for it. They are there, but you are now allowing your devotional voice to speak. That is that you have to learn. You have to be a little bit introspective, and then you will see very distinctly the different voices. You will make them out as clear as I can view the tent and the content of the tent at the moment. And you will single out the devotional voice. And now comes my second point. I saw your hand is up. I know that you need a practical thing. And strengthen that devotional voice. How do we strengthen our devotional side? How do we strengthen our spiritual side? We have to give it food. We have to give it nourishment. And the way you give nourishment to your devotional side is by devotional practice of certain activities. Especially, it is said, reading the Bhagavatam gives you a lot of support. By reading the Bhagavatam, the Lord in the heart becomes active and begins to work for your benefit. There are many, many statements in the Bhagavatam how Krishna manifests on the lotus of the heart. There is the Shrutekshita path. By hearing the Bhagavatam, you actually, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, will understand at one point your constitutional nature, that is your Swarup. That's in one verse in the ninth, in the third canto. I just read it in Unveiling the Lotus Feet. And by giving food to that devotional side, you will see how it will become very strong, and that voice all of a sudden begin to roar like a lion. It may have been like my mouse up till now, being over-sounded by the different mental desires, but you have strengthened it, especially reading the Bhagavatam. And here I want to make an advertisement for the book of a friend. Read Unveiling the Lotus Feet, my dear devotees. Read it. It's the best book. It's really full with purpose from Srila Prabhupada. It's really Prabhupada speaking to us and the Bhagavatam speaking to us, and just very nicely, tastefully arranged. Especially in Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu really preached that the associating with the Bhagavatam, hearing regularly the Bhagavatam, and then, of course, you should strengthen that voice by serving a devotee. Mm-hmm. Then you will become strong. Please do it. See, there is a chorus of voices in our head, a chorus of divergent desires. If you would only know, human, how many things are in your heart, you would become discouraged. In Croatia, there is a boat. You can rent the boat or be burn the boat. It has a glass floor. You know, it's a normal boat, but the floor of the boat is made of glass. So when you sit there, you can look through the glass into the crystal clear Adria Sea, and you can see so many different types of fishes, planktons, stones, wood, garbage. Croatians are not very environmental friendly creatures, and so on and so forth. And you see on the bottom of the lake so many things. So if you would have a boat like that and you would go through your mind, what you would discover in your subconsciousness, may God protect you from this realization. But we need to take this devotional voice now, whatever it is a little, it brought you to Vrindavan human. There is something there, something undeniably there. It brought you to do so many services with your wonderful intelligence. Don't be deceived. This voice is there. This person is there. And in some ways, it is already perfect. It is only covered. And if you learn to see yourself in your naked form, in your pure form, you will be only encouraged. It's not so bad. Just learn to not look always at the negative things. Learn to look at the positive things. Learn to look at yourself as God would look upon yourself. He sees, here's a devotee who's trying. And make that stronger. That's my answer to this question.
One more question.
Small question. Small answer. Yes.
Yeah. Just now you said about sleeping.
I think you asked the wrong person, because yesterday I fell asleep myself in the class of Jagatarini, and I can't forgive myself. So this, what I will do today is, I will just rest 10 minutes before I go to Jagatarini's class. And then I think I will be very alert. You have to monitor to your life with some intelligence.
Thank you.
This was a small question with a small answer. Very good. My dear devotees, I would like to now go with you again into the meditation. What we have heard so far was a little bit entertainment, but now comes the work. Okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
Good. It's really the best part of this lecture. And I believe, let's look at the time. I would like that you take 7 minutes pause, just walk around, because we will now go deeper, and it will be on a more advanced level. We will lift you. You will need to give your best very soon. So you have 7 minutes time.